All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of Free for All. This is your host, Big John, and we're joined tonight by one of the friends of the show and somebody that I could always count on to chop it up real nice on topics of the day, my fellow Bronx boy. I'm going to call him a Bronx boy right now.
I'm all good. I'm good with that. Yep.
From the Grand Concourse in the Bronx. I'm from Kingsbridge. We were just talking about that before the show.
It makes me tougher than you.
It probably does. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to argue with that. If you grew up on the Grand Concourse, even 30, 40 years ago, Larry, that's one tough kid. That's a tough neighborhood. I'll grant you that. So I'll keep that in mind. Plus a former Marine. Who wants to mess with him? But everyone, this is Free For All, the show where we're going to talk about issues pertaining mainly to libertarians, liberty-themed issues, but also what's happening. We're not oblivious to what's happening in the world around us. Want to remind everyone, we're on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook Live, and X. If you have any questions at all for either Larry or myself, please feel free to throw them up in the chat, and we'll get to them as quickly as we can. All right, so Larry, the first thing I want to start off, which is obvious, the attempt on Donald Trump's life this past weekend.
Yes.
The shots fired. Yes. So before we get into anything too deep, give me your thoughts. Give me your top line thoughts on what happened, what you saw.
It's a great question. I think as a general rule, it's going to sound crazy. I'm not surprised. I mean, that sounds to be the worst thing. People were like, oh my God, it happened. I was like, oh, finally. Like, I knew violence was going to happen. There was something right. around it. We are in a world that's close to the 1960s, without question, right?
Yes.
And yeah. I, we had Malcolm X, we had MLK, we had JFK, we had RFK, right? We had people getting shot left and right, presidential candidates, presidents. That was a thing. We're in the same world now. Why would I think anything different, right? I'm surprised it was only that. And in fact, RFK Jr. has already had two attempts on him that were foiled by his security. So already, this is the thing. The problem is our rhetoric is so bad. I mean, if you're going to say that someone is literally Hitler, I mean, that's what we keep saying, right? About each other constantly. So, which is why I'm happy to come on a show like yours, because whether we agree or not, we were joking before the show, you know, and I'm not coming out to get you, right? You're not coming to get me. You might call me a name. That's fine, but you're not coming to get me, right? And I feel like we've gone so far that I was expecting this. To be forward, I am very happy. And I don't. This is not for me. This is not virtue signaling when I say this, so I'm going to be very clear. I am very happy that he failed. And it's not because I have some love for Donald Trump. I don't have any love for Donald Trump. I don't care either way, right?
Right.
In my view, I'm independent. I don't care whether he wins or not. The country's still going in a slow decay and a rot either way. Maybe one candidate might make it rot a little bit slower, but it's rotting no matter what. But because this is the wrong way of making this happen. If you want to beat Donald Trump and you hate him so much, shooting him is not the right answer, right? That is going to make him stronger anyway and sets a horrible precedent, and beat him at the ballots. Beat him at the ballot box. If he's that bad, beat him there. And then that's it. You have now shown that he's the bad guy and we beat him in the ballot box. But it goes to one more step if I could.
Sure.
And this is going to sound horrible, but at the end of any empire, what do you have? Leaders who pop in and pop out and violence becomes the norm. At any empire, you find the last years of any empire has, you know, emperors or kings or rulers swapping out quickly and a whole lot of violence. We start this, we are literally ending our empire, our nation. So that's why I'm very happy he failed. I hope we do not do this again. This is a terrible idea. If you like Donald Trump, good luck. I hope you win. If you don't like Donald Trump, then I hope you beat him at the ballot box. That's what's supposed to happen.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because those of us that have a couple of gray hairs realize that this is not a necessarily unique time in history, either globally or in our nation, right? Like you mentioned the 60s. Now, I think you and I are of the same age. We're both Gen Xers. Yep. So like when
we're
had
29, that's correct. Yes.
Perfect.
Correct. Yes.
But listen, you and I were probably running around in diapers when RFK was shot, when MLK was shot.
We were around when Sadat was killed in Egypt.
Yes, agreed.
Who was killed in Israel.
Right.
And Reagan was shot in 81. We were around and up, and we had brains. We were probably in school then, I'd assume. I think it was high school, maybe? Maybe in that area? Do you guys go to high school? Something like that. That area? So we were around when there was violence in the early 80s. We were there for that, right?
Yeah, the political violence. Yeah. But also, people forget, it wasn't just even like, say, when Gerald Ford, like Squeaky Frome and all those. It wasn't just violence against necessarily presidents and ex-presidents. You had the general violence of like the FALN, the Symbionese Liberation Army, right? Like, we grew up in New York. We were talking about it down at Francis Tavern, right? Where George Washington held his first Continental Congress, right? The FALN chose that and just blew that place apart. Mm. Like, it was a historical landmark, right? So,
yes.
People who are saying, man, this is unprecedented, I would say, well, I'm glad you're alarmed at that, you're upset at what's happening. But at the same time, take a step back. We lived through this as recently as the 60s, 70s. To your point, the attempted Reagan assassination in 1981, just in this country. I'm not even, so let's say you're a complete isolationist, you're a good anarchist, you only care about your local community. We've seen it here, Larry, is what I'm trying to say, right? You don't have to go too far. So now
let's go back just a couple of years when that guy tried to beat up Rand Paul.
Yes. Yes.
Right? How about that guy beat around the guy who shot the Democrat?
Was it Scalise?
No. Gifford.
Oh, Gifford. Gabby Giffords. Yes. Giffords. You're
so
right.
So that's a Republican Rand Paul, Democrat Gabby Gifford.
Yeah.
No, we've done this. This is not, that's why I'm saying while I'm happy he failed, I don't want it to happen. I'm not shocked is all I'm saying. And here's the worst part. You find this is the good and the bad.
Yes.
I burst up on my radio show the other day. When you look at someone that like for about 100 or so years ago in 1914, when that guy Princip shot the Archduke Ferdinand and started World War I, right? 100 years ago. That guy is a hero in the Balkans, right? They think he's the greatest guy in the world. They got statues to him, named streets after him. You go to, you know, a Bosnia-Herzegovina now, because he was a Bosnian Serb, or you go to Serbia. I mean, there's like street, you can live on like Princip Street, right? He's a hero. I'm very glad that our guys are not. Like, we didn't make this kid a hero. We're not. He's a bad guy. We don't like him. That is a positive step for us as Americans. But at the same time, there's a chunk of people who are like, too bad he missed.
Yes.
And that, again, I mean, I'm also not surprised about that. That's terrible for us. But if you listen to certain parts of this country, of course you'd want that. Of course.
Well, that was going to be my next question to you, right? So we'll talk about like the aftermath in terms of what people are saying about the actual event itself. But to your point, socially now, when Reagan was shot, I remember I was in high school, as you mentioned. I remember very clearly no one bothered asking, was Hinckley a Republican or a Democrat?
No one cared.
No one cared about whether he was a single, whether he was an incel. None of that stuff, right? It was like... Nope. And they made an effort to grab him alive. I mean, it was like just that whole thing, right? Now, granted, that was for a sitting president as opposed to an ex-president. So I understand there's different protocols in those situations. But generally, that's our frame of reference. Do you feel that because back then, for better or for worse, the information was gatekept, right, Larry? Like, we had to go to the three major networks. We had to go to the New York Times. We had to go to the Wall Street Journal, right? Whereas now,
the country as a whole didn't want Reagan to be shot. Even Democrats are like, no, you don't shoot him. I'm mad at him, but I don't want him dead. Like, I'm just, I don't like the guy because I'm a Democrat or whatever, but I don't want him dead. Like, I don't feel that way. That wasn't a thing in the 80s. In fact, my family ended up from the Bronx. I don't know if the Bronx is heavily Democratic.
Oh, very.
My mom and dad were strong, hardcore Democrats, hardcore Democrats. And they didn't want him dead. Like, no, they did not want him dead. They didn't vote for him. They voted for, I think it was Carter. I think it was Carter right there, right? They voted for Carter. They didn't vote for him, but they didn't care. They didn't want him dead. So I think that's a secondary piece to that. And on top of that, remember, Reagan joked. When the doctors were taking him in, he's like, I hope you guys aren't Democrats, right?
Yeah,
and then a doctor said, this is a report, he said, today we are all Republicans.
Right.
The doctor said that. You would never hear that today.
You're absolutely right. Never. You're absolutely right. Now, so when you hear that, now there, so, and I'm actually working on getting a couple of guests that are experts in this field, in terms of how social media affects the wiring of our brains to the point yep. where we're so disconnected, Larry. So that's always in the back of things like this. So while this was going on in real time, I was watching, you know, and I said, I was telling my partner, William, I was literally going from channel to channel because on my cable system, they're all sequential, you know, so it's CNN, Newsmax, yep. OANN, you yep. know, Fox, whatever, right? So, and going from channel to channel, it was astounding to me how vastly different the reporting was, right? So
yeah. Yeah.
not all, because back in 81, ABC, NBC, CBS, right? Listen, we all knew they had a liberal bias when it came to their opinions, right?
I don't think we all knew that though back then.
It was
only
less
savvy people knew. The right, average less, person didn't think
right.
that.
It was less obvious. You're absolutely correct. Right. And but even so, their actual reporting was pretty much the same. These are the reports coming in. Here's the film clip we have. Let's put that on loop until we hear something else. Yep. Okay, great. Now let's put the new information up.
But within, also they only came on at like 5 or 6 o'clock at night. And 10 or 11 o'clock. It wasn't a 24. When we were kids, it was still 24/7 right. news hour. That you wasn't a thing.
You occasionally got that big thing that said special report. And you always right. you always crapped your pants because you were afraid that meant the missiles were on their way over.
That's but... exactly. Yes. You've given right? away our age, my friend. Yes, you yeah. have. 100%. Yes.
Right? But the point being is that it was less of a frenzy, right? And to me, it was... Because within, I am telling you, within maybe 20 minutes, we had the, it's a fake. Trump really wasn't shot. Oh, look at the way he cupped his ear. He put a blood packet there like a pro wrestler. Right. Or, I saw stuff that was, hey, W is behind it. Why right. is W behind this? Well, he's invested in a hedge fund that shorted the Truth Social stock like 2 weeks before it had constant nonsense. So
absolutely.
Taking all those conspiracy theories now, sorting them through, let me ask you this. When you watched that actual event, it did seem a little strange to me, right? One of the things I noticed was, first of all, his security detail. I joked to my partner about this. I said, what were there, like 5 or 6 women on that detail who couldn't physically, were not as tall as Trump. So when they were trying to shield him, you had this almost comical sight of these shorter agents jumping up, literally to shield him by jumping up, you know, instead of being able to cover him. So that's the first thing, like whether it's DEI or some sort of, I don't know, but that stood out to me. And it also stood out to me how, forget, because we didn't know about who shot from where and how many shots or anything like that. But I'm saying in real time, the other thing that sort of seemed weird to me was that it almost seemed like they weren't hustling them off the stage fast enough, that they weren't moving more quickly to either secure that spot.
You know, if you listen, you can hear.
Yes.
They did attempt it. It was one guy who was savvy. The yeah. team couldn't do it. They failed. He's like 1, 2, 3, ha! And nobody
moves. Yes, the guy behind him. You're absolutely right.
Correct. So there was one of the guys came in to get him off ASAP. The team failed. So they had to redo it. And at that point, Trump was like, give me my shoe. Like, then he was like chilling at the end because that's when the arrow hit to him. He's like, oh, okay. That's when he all of a sudden got his mind together, right?
Right.
So he just dropped like, holy crap, someone shooting at me. Then the guy's trying to get him off. The team completely failed. And then Trump's like, oh, no, I got it. So that's when he was like calmer, taking my shoe, did his fight thing, right? That's when he did it. So that failure helped Trump.
Yeah. By the way, no matter what else you think of Trump, the lightning fast wits of a master marketer at play in that moment. Like, did you notice that the live mic picked up him saying, let me fix my hair before they let him up? Like he's always thinking at that. Right. But
you will hear me sales. He is always a brander, always a marketer. Always.
Absolutely.
I think to answer your question, do I think there's any type of conspiracy? Now, what I think there actually was, to be very forward with you, is going to sound crazy, but I'm telling you what I think is true.
Yeah.
It's just malicious incompetence. That's what it is. I think to your point, I think they just don't care. They put those whatever second tier people on him, third tier people on him, to DEI, whatever. They all went to him. Those people aren't on Biden, right? Yeah. The top tier people are guarding Biden. They put the second, third string on Trump. That's the reason why it failed. They put the third string, the new guy who they hired yesterday. That guy was on Trump. That's why they couldn't even get him up one time. Again, obvious failures. They couldn't. Yes. You can't get the guy up to get him out. You fail at that, right? They couldn't put their gun in. They couldn't find the holster.
Oh, that was crazy. That was crazy.
Yes. So I don't think they were trying to get him. I don't believe that at all. Right. People are going to say that. I think that's just they don't care. Like, if it happens, whatevs. That's what I think the Secret Service actually thinks. If it happens in that way, it's my third tier, second tier guys. We'll fire some of them when they get them, and we'll move on. And that may sound horrible, but generally speaking, when it comes to government, government is usually not purposely trying to hurt. Government usually just grossly apathetic. And I think the heads, the leaders, look, the establishment has always hated Trump and still hates Trump, right? The average Republican loves Trump. The establishment hates Trump. The establishment's in charge. And they went, put our chumps on. Whatever happens, happens. We'll have some story, whatever. Which is why the head of the Secret Service is like, you know, that's basically her answer. Have you seen her interviews?
Yeah. Oh, she's horrible. Yeah. She's
like, well, what are you going to do? Something happens. So that's kind of how she answers. I think she honestly believes that. She's like, whatever. Yeah. Then they get me, don't you don't.
Well, that whole thing that it was too slopey of a roof or something like that. Like, one of the most ridiculous answers I've ever heard. She was better off saying no comment and moving on.
But you're right.
But, you know, here's the thing. Like, and it's fascinating you said that because I tend to largely agree with you. I never underestimate the incompetence of government at anything.
Yes,
and absolutely. When I combat any sort of conspiracy theories, it's always I start out with the point of, can this more easily be attributed to just a couple of dolts who don't know what they're doing? Because that
Or
don't care, right. They're either apathetic. Oh, well, it's that old joke, the professor asks his class, Larry, what's worse, apathy or ignorance? And the class says, we don't know and we don't care.
That's great, yes. That's good.
Right.
Yes.
So that applies to government, right? Like, whether it's that they didn't care via apathy or they cared and couldn't do anything about it because they either fell apart. To me, that's the most likely answer, right? So,
yes.
But of course, we know social media loves a good conspiracy theory. They love a good story. That it's clickbait and all 100%. That.
Yes.
So now you hear all these things, and but what comes worse, if I'm admitting stuff, is from my fellow libertarians who seem to live in this space, right? So we've had things
Don't take that from us. Don't take that from us.
You're right. Why take it from us? It's fun. But when you start to see this, like, it's a little infuriating because here you are. If you're like libertarians have long said, not only is government in many ways or in every way immoral, but on top of that, we always say they're incompetent at everything. That a free market or volunteerism is much more efficient and much more effective. Yet the first chance we get to assign government hyper-competency to anything that we don't like, we tend to do that. And I'm struggling to understand here. Like, this is really most, Larry, to your point, this is incompetence. This is gross incompetence, in my opinion. I mean, there's always the chance that something comes out, right? But that's what I attribute it to. Some of these theories, I don't know if you've seen them. Like I told you, the hedge fund theory that they put up, you know, somehow Bush is connected to this. But what did you make out of all these reports that there were people on the ground saying, hey, look, there's somebody on the roof there. What's going on? And supposedly
this goes right back to nobody cared. Look, I don't think it can. No, I'm going to be clear. I divvy it up.
Yeah.
I think the leadership did not care. The average person was the average Secret Service agent wants to be a hero, wants to do a good job.
Right.
But if they shove, you know, if you're on a bad news Bears team, you're not winning. Right. It doesn't matter how good one person might be or even want to be. The reality of it is the person they put on is probably third tier. They don't have that much experience. They can try their best. Look, if I want to be a great baseball player, that's awesome. I go on the field with all the vigor I want, but I'm not going to be a champion because I don't have the training, the experience. I don't have it. It's not going to happen for me. So I'm actually not mad at the individual agents. I think they did the best they could, but they were third tier, weren't trained. Their leadership, when they asked that woman who runs it, well, that building, they told you that that was a dangerous building. So what'd you do? Well, we decided to have law enforcement in it. That was her response. So we abandoned that building. We just said to hell with it and put law enforcement in charge. That's apathy. Why would you put local law enforcement? Now, I'm not mad at local cops, but how does a local cop know how to defend the president?
And why would you be?
No way.
Why would you be in the building?
Yes. Again, you don't know any better. You're probably waiting like to be like a force to come out if something goes wrong. Right now, some New York City cops, New York City has a 30,000 police force. There are elites within that police force who would know how to deal with the VIP. Of course, they have their training, their experience. Local cops don't get that kind of training. Right. I'm not mad at a local cop, but when does a local cop in some town have to defend a president? Never. They have no idea how to do it. Again, not bad people. Don't have experience, but have training.
Yeah, you can't expect a plumber to make a good electrician, right? So it's so I get that. What do you make about also that
the guy who went up the stairs, the ladder to get the guy, didn't know what he was doing. Again, not that he's a bad guy, but when's the last time he had to get a sniper? He's a local cop. He's, he's, to be forwarded, does he know how to bust guys who are drunk drivers? Probably very well. He knows the theory, how to do it. He does it probably every weekend, right? He knows to do that. When's the last time a local cop has to get a presidential sniper off a roof? Never. So he goes up there to look. He's a brave guy. He wants to do his job.
Right.
And all of a sudden, there's a guy with a rifle pointing at him. He's like, holy crap, and he falls off. Of course he would do that. He's never done it before. Right. So he gets – this is what actually happened. He gets on the radio. He's like, there's a sniper on the roof. That's what he said. This is true. That actually happened. It goes on. They're like, what roof? What sniper? What? They weren't – that's why it took so long. They were not read. This is incompetence, not because they're bad people. They were untrained. They're third tier. That's why it failed, because the Secret Service didn't care.
And you really deep down, just to be sure, you deep down are saying you don't think that they set out to have him killed or set this guy up as a patsy of some sort. Because a lot of people are saying, hey, it's Jack Ruby all over again.
Well, no, don't get me wrong. I want to be clear. My difference between some group of people that were with him versus Secret Service, I'm making a distinction. Okay. I do not think the Secret Service was involved in this at all.
Okay.
I think the leadership just didn't care and was hoping something happened. I didn't care if something happened. That is my issue. So I'm making a distinction between those two. I don't think the Secret Service and the kid were involved at all. Is it possible there were people who goaded the kid or paid the kid? Maybe that's possible. Right, but I'm making a distinction between the Secret Service and that kid. Am I clear on that?
Yeah. So if there was my point, and that's a good distinction, because and my question wasn't sharp enough, because what I meant to say is, do you feel anything, any nefarious parts of government were behind this rid of Trump?
Totally possible. Remember, still to this day, the elites of our country still hate Trump. That has not gone away. That was true in 2015, and that's true today. Again, the average Republican loves Trump.
Right.
But the elites still hate him and want him to go away. The elites in the Republican Party would love if they can get Mitt Romney back and George W. Bush. They would love they can get those guys back. They would love that. They would love that. But they can't right now. Their best hope, believe it or not, is J.D. Vance. That's their best hope, right? That's why they're like, good, put J.D. in. Good. Let's hope that guy, let's hope we can turn him into Mitt Romney in 4 years. That's their hope. Right now, I'm not saying that will happen. I don't know JD. I'm saying that is their hope. I don't know if that's true.
But he's a weird one, because he started out on the I can't stand Trump train.
They know that.
Right. So is this a populist move on his part, trying to accept this? And then once he's clear of Trump, then he can revert. Who knows? I see what you're saying.
I can tell you the elites of the Republican Party are hoping that is true.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you on that one.
Yeah.
Now, as we look at this, I was thinking that as we go forward now, obviously Trump has the clear path to this, right? So, I mean, it would take...
It's looking really good for Trump right now.
It's looking really good for Trump. news coming out now that Biden is thinking of dropping out. He announced he has COVID, which was again,
yeah, he's done. Biden's done.
But it was just very strange. His Twitter handle literally, I'm not saying it was him, but his Twitter handle literally tweeted out two words: "I'm sick." That's it.
Yep.
And then it was followed up with, "I have COVID and I'm going to be going, you know, quarantining, whatever." In your opinion, politically, what is the best move for the Democrats? Is it to throw up with a sacrificial lamb? Just conceding that this is over? Or do they put up some young buck that might be able to pull this out? What do you think?
Again, as I don't care about Trump, I don't care about Democrats either.
True. But I'm saying politically.
My opinion. So I will give you my opinion.
Yeah.
My opinion is the best thing for the Democrats. If I was a Democrat, to be clear, I'm not. If I was, I would say you want to have some type of mini primary or vote or something that goes into the convention with some form of drama.
Right.
What has happened this last week is Trump and Republicans dominated media for the past week. It's been nothing but a boon for them.
Right.
The Democrats have nothing but negative media. You do not have Trump resign. I'm sorry, Trump. You do not have Biden resign and put Kamala up. A lot of people want that because then she becomes the incumbent. She becomes impossible to beat. The problem with that is, one, everybody hates Kamala, number one.
Yeah.
And number two, you've removed the drama. Right. If there's no drama, why does everybody cover the Democratic National Convention? They won't. Right? Why did Trump wait till the last minute to announce J.D. Vance?
Right.
He waited until the convention. He wanted to add drama. The man's a showman. He gets it. Yes. He wants to add drama.
Right.
If the Democrats were smart, they would have Biden sometime this weekend say, "Oh, COVID showed me how sick I am. I'm not going to run for office. I'm not going to seek the national thing." And Democrats go, "Thank you very much. We're going to have whatever, a one-day vote with delegates." And remember, they started already. If you know that July 21st, this weekend, they were supposed to have a special vote for the delegates. They call it, what is a special kind of polling vote, that a voice vote, right? So if you have that vote, then that means you can't change it. By their bylaws, they all voted for Biden and it's done. They canceled it today. Or was it yesterday? Right. They canceled it today, yesterday. Why you cancel that? Because you don't want Biden anymore.
Right. Well,
so
I think
you
that's
wait until he says no. Yeah. Then you figure out whatever. Then you have some form, whatever the form is, some form of, who's going to nominate who, and then some kind of drama that the press will cover. Who's going to be VP? Can Kamala win? Blah, 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 blah. If Kamala actually wins this, then Democrats will be behind her. But either way, there'll be new energy, new value, new everything. They'll steal the news cycle for a week, which is what they want. It'll take away all the energy that Trump has right now, because Trump has all the momentum right now. Take away his momentum. That is the right answer for Democrats. If I was running Democratic Party, that is what I would do.
Now, if that were the case, though, if you were a Democrat, and I know that's hard to think of, but put yourself in a Democratic leadership shoes, do you want Kamala or do you want somebody else in there?
I want Kamala nowhere near that. I want her to lose everything. She is a terrible debater. She's a horrible human being. People don't like her. She's incompetent. She can't put together sentences. She embarrasses herself constantly. She has nothing to show. Black people don't like her. I'm black and I don't like her. It is not – she's a terrible answer.
Right.
You got to find two types. Somebody that can be exciting and somebody who can fight. Trump is a fighter. You cannot put a weak person against Trump. He will eat them alive. You can't do it. Now, if I'm a Democrat, who would I push?
Right.
I would push as VP, not as president. I would do whatever it takes to get Michelle Obama as VP. Michelle Obama as VP. You don't want her as president. She is not going to be able to battle Donald Trump. Trump is going to eat her for breakfast. But you do want her as secondary to motivate people. Remember, Democrats love Michelle Obama. They love her. Oh, my God, they love her. They will come out for her in a heartbeat. So she draws the Democrats back into, we can go back to the magic of Obama again.
Right.
She draws them in, and you have some fighter in front. Fighter like a Gavin Newsom or someone who wants to fight. I'm not sure if he's the right guy, but I'm saying it can't be someone who is a sensible Democrat. No. You need someone that when Trump yells, he yells back. Whoever that person is, you need a fighter. Polis is good also out of out of Colorado. He's a good fighter too. You need someone who is going to, who when Trump comes at you, you can at least defend yourself. You got to have that. When the Democrats are most happy is when Biden was like, shut up, man. That is when the Democrats like, yay, our guy's fighting Trump.
Right, right, right.
So some fighter like that.
Yeah.
That's my advice. Free advice, Democrats. Good luck.
And it seems to make sense. But let me ask you this. Even if they do what you prescribe and it works according to your thought process, the odds are still long for a Democrat to win in November.
No, if they actually do what I tell them, they win.
You think
so? 100%. And I tell you why. What people want right now is turnout. That's right. What matters. Turnout.
Well, especially
Democrats are not excited. In fact, Democrats are going to. The reason why Jill Stein has any chance of success at all, and she's not going to win, but she's going to make impact. Why? Because anti-war left is funding her.
Yeah. Yeah.
So get an anti-war person on Democratic Party. They'll leave Jill Stein in a heartbeat. And they'll jump on the Democratic train. They want to be Democrats, but Democrats are warmongers. Well, Jill Stein's the only non-warmonger, so they'll go to Jill Stein. And she's being funded by them. I know. She raised $500,000 for ballot access in New York State, as much as I did. Why? Funded by the anti-war left. You want that money back? You want them voters back? Change that ticket. They'll come back. Not just that. A lot of Democrats have given up. They're not showing up anymore, particularly the youth. Young women are massively Democrat, massively liberal. They don't vote. You get Michelle Obama on a ticket, they vote. So you'll win not because you will have converted anybody. You'll win because a massive amount of Democrats will show up and vote for you. That's the reason.
And you get to legitimately have a hopefully enthusiastic Barack on the campaign trail if his wife is on the ticket.
And Democrats love Barack Obama. I'm telling you, all the old school Democrats, they flock out in droves. The reason why they would actually have a chance at beating Trump with this is not because they're going to convert anybody. They're not. It's because Democrats that are saying, I can't vote for Biden, will come out. And all the old school people who came out back in 2008, they will all come back again. They'll be like, oh, yeah, this is back when it was magical. They'll forget all the bad things that Obama did. They will only remember only the good things because they want to, right? That's how humans are. Right. They're Democrats. They'll believe only the good. And they'll say, he's going to fix Obamacare this time or whatever they'll tell themselves. And they'll vote. So I think I wish it were not true, right? I wish that they were trying to convert people, but they're not. They just want – look, the reality of it is about 50% of people actually who can vote. It's about all it is, too, about 50%. So if the Democrats get 80% of their base to vote and the Republicans only get 55% of their base to vote, Democrats win because enough bodies came out. Does that make sense?
Aren't there nationally more Democrats registered
than Republicans? There are, but swing states are the issues.
Exactly,
yes,
right.
But it's a swing state. There will be more Democrats who vote for Democrats. It's true. But so they're going to crush it in New York and California, and it doesn't matter. Are they going to win in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan? You know, these states matter. Arizona, Georgia. Again, if 80% of the Democrats come out and vote, 55% of Republicans come out and vote, Democrats win those swing states.
Right, right. And I, you know, my buddy Nate Silver over at 538, which is funny because I knew Nate when we were still doing baseball projections back in the day. So it's like, it's hilarious. But, you know, when you look at 538 and from, unlike most people, you kind of if you understand how data sampling works and projections, you kind of understand what he's saying. His latest proclamation was that out of 100, out of 1,000 simulations, the Democratic ticket, which is right now Biden, beats Trump 53% of the time.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to me that I don't know if it's some sort of weird trick of statistics going on right now, or if it's the Republican hype train that really gets out and says, hey, this is a lock for Trump.
Now, a lock.
Right, right. That's what I was going to ask you.
If Biden is there, Trump has a very high chance of victory, I believe, more than 50%. But here's the issue. Here's what's going to happen. This is why Nate kind of is right, because here's the piece. You're going to see about a month or two from the election, because early voting is about a month out, about 2 months from election. Everything is going to be about abortion. Everything is going to be about abortion. They're going to run on abortion. J.D. Vance is not a pro-choice guy. Neither is Trump. Trump's trying. Trump's team knows That's why Trump's been backing off on that stuff. Because Trump's team knows women, many women in America, and this is not to be sexist, this is to be reality. The numbers prove this out. This is factual. Many women in America are, when it comes to this, are single issue voters. When they hear pro-life, what they actually hear is anti-woman. That is right. What they hear. I'm not saying that's true for my pro-life brothers and sisters. No, I'm not saying that. That's what they hear.
They hear The Handmaid's Tale. That's what 100%. They hear. 100%. They hear that.
They hear that. And if they come out, again, Michelle Obama on a ticket, I'm telling you 80% of women will come out and vote Democrat. I'm not even joking. 80% will come out and vote Democrat. You will see it happen. I'm not making – you will watch. Why do you think every poll said problems we're going to want to get that red wave? And it was no red wave. That was women voting abortion. That's what that was. You can say whatever you want. Make up all your stories to make yourself feel better. I told – like I have a lot of pro-life friends. And I told them, I said, the worst thing you want is reversing Roe v. Wade. No, people were celebrating. I said, you've just ended that. You've just ruined yourselves. Because I told them this, and yeah, I'm on record. I said something called Tim Pool like 3 years ago, whatever. I said, once that happens, American women are going to hear it as anti-woman. In fact, you're going to turn people. The average person didn't care about abortion at all. It was not a big deal for most Americans. They didn't care. It wasn't a part of their life. They didn't care. Now, women now have gone from pro-choice, I'm not joking, to pro-abortion. And I told people they will become pro-abortion because they will hear it as pro-woman. Well, and that's why you now have people who wear t-shirts saying, I had abortions, blah, blah, blah. They've become pro-abortion. It's exactly what I predicted 3 years ago. It's exactly what happened. And that is the wild card that people aren't talking about. This abortion piece, if women come out and vote,
right,
and they vote for Democrats, Democrats will still win this thing.
Well, the issue has radicalized them, is what you're saying. It's like the Roe versus Wade has radicalized them perhaps beyond the point they would have been normally.
100%.
Because, you know, they view it as all or nothing. You know, like I didn't care about it up until the way it was. But now that you're forcing my hand, I'm going to fall on the side of let's make this a national type of thing. So 100%. I get that. So the Michelle Obama thing, aside from the logic you just laid out, also makes sense to me that I think the Republicans are thinking about it too, because anecdotally, I have no hard data. It's just from someone who sits in front of a monitor for 12 hours a day. I've seen the Michael Obama memes and the Michelle Obama's actually a transsexual. Those have actually ratcheted up in the last week or so. And I kept saying to myself, why? Do you know what I mean? Like, it never occurred to me until just now when you laid it out.
Yes,
because
they
I'm
know.
Sure all those Republicans. Now, whether they thought it through as a VP or a POTUS candidate, I don't know that level of detail. But it's very,
VP. I'm going to tell you, I'm a consultant. You know that I'm a political consultant. Yes, what I do for a living.
Yes, yeah.
I have friends who about 4 or 5 months ago, maybe further, 6 months out ago, were on her exploratory committee for the VP. So I know there was that I think they disbanded it because they thought that it was just Biden Harris and that's the end, right? But now they may be rebooting it. But at one point, there was an exploratory committee for Michelle Obama to be VP.
Yeah.
Not president.
Right.
VP. VP is perfect for her. President is not.
Interesting. I just want to pop up something. This is from my partner, William, who's monitoring the show. He says, true. I just dealt with that last night, and the fundamentalists don't care. They believe that Trump can't win without him, but they refuse to acknowledge that we don't have the numbers, and they're wrong. So he's in line with what you're saying, Larry, that from, you know, the Republic, and this was an issue for Reagan. And as after the Reagan revolution, this was a problem for the right. They actively courted the fundamentalists, the born-again Christians, that the Southern Baptists. It was that part of that Southern strategy for Reagan. That later, down the road, Republicans, after Reagan, because Reagan, let's face it, was once in a lifetime with that charisma, right? You had Reagan.
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe Clinton, definitely Obama,
Clinton was good, too. Clinton was good, too, but I would not put him above Reagan.
No,
I would put Clinton as one of the best Democrats.
Sure. So once Reagan left, that coalition became more and more tense. I remember Lee Atwater telling me once, like, these guys are going to kill us. Meaning, and by these guys, he meant the fundamentalists. Because yep. look how much the right had to cater to their positions as all or nothings, right?
Yep.
Whether it was anti-free speech when it came to pornography, when the abortion issue, the a lot of these things, right? So, and that's still going on to this day. So it's one of those.
Agreed.
It's one of those few things. Like I've always said, the Democratic Party, because it's like, hey, any grievance you have, we want you, right? Come into our party. Any grievance you have,
whether that's not true anymore.
No, I'm saying at one point that was the thing.
Oh, yes.
Right? They would say, come on in, man. We want everybody. And the Republicans, and that's why the Democrats had a tough time formulating a national policy that was coherent, right?
Yep.
Whereas the Republicans,
that's how come Clinton could be very Republican light.
Yes.
When he governed and ran because of what you just said. You're right.
Right. Yeah. But now it's just like completely tribal. Okay, 100%. Cool. So you're.
Let me touch a couple of things you said. The first thing you brought up was the idea of, you know, the problem that Reagan had. Reagan had that problem, true, but it was a problem because the Democrats were accepting. Democrats are no longer accepting. In fact, they are openly, aggressively anti-religion, openly, aggressively anti-fundamentalism. So the fundamentalists now, it's the reverse. They have no place to go but Trump. Trump now owns them, right?
Which
that's
have to
the
tell
reality. You, they can't go anyplace else.
But Larry, to me that, and I not that I disagree with you, mind you, but to me it's almost staggering because it's illogical. Like,
why?
Because
Why do you think Joe Rogan and Elon Musk are all of a sudden Trump supporters or RFK Jr. supporters? Here's the reason why. If this was 20 years ago, they'd be Democrats. Wouldn't even be close. When I was on Joe Rogan in 2018, I literally called him a Democrat. I insulted him and called him a Democrat. Literally, within the first 10 minutes of the show. Like, Danny, you're a Democrat, right? Immediately. Right. He support Bernie. Elon supported Bernie. Why? Because the second, and this is how the left is. Now, this, again, to your point, in the 70s, this was the right. But now, this is the left. You believe everything we say or you're our enemy.
Right.
We don't want everybody. We want everybody who thinks exactly how we think. So now, if you're not a Democrat, you're evil. So you have two choices. You go far left, you go Jill Stein, you go Cornel West, Marxist, that side, which is one chunk of people. But if you don't consider yourself that far left, now you're Trump. You become populist.
Well, I don't disagree with you in general, but I'm speaking specifically to the fundamentalists. Just because of Trump's character and personal history, right? So if you're a fundamentalist and you're like pro-family, anti-abortion, all these things, I don't know that Trump as a person represents that.
I think he does. Let me tell you why.
Sure, go ahead.
When I ran for governor, the far right loved me. Conservatives loved me. Fundamentalists loved me. Why? Because I'm not a fundamentalist. I'm not even very conservative in many ways, I think. But I'm a libertarian, so I respect you, and I will support you, and I will defend you in every way, shape, or form to be as fundamentalist religion as you want to be. I'm with you, even though I may not go to your church, but I'm never shutting your church down. I'm never stopping you from going.
Right.
I'm going to respect what you say, even if it comes from a biblical background. I don't care if it's right or good. I'm in. Doesn't matter. That is Trump. Trump is that. He may not be that, but he will listen to them. He will hear them. He will respect them. He will defend them. The left will not.
Right. And I guess maybe that's the point that they're harping on. Because I've had some people, again, good friends, you know, that through various industries and associations, you know, and they'll be like, oh, you know, and I used to not laugh at them, but just argue with them. That like, hey, how, you know, they'd say like, he's a good Christian man. He's that. And they said, no, it's not true. Like to your point, if you tell me as a fundamentalist, I'll support Trump because he'll leave me the hell alone.
Yes.
Then I'm with you on that aspect.
Yep.
But I think now so to me personally, because I also look at the character of people, right?
Well, but he won't only not just leave you alone. He will openly bring you into his fold.
Yes.
He will pick judges that will make you happy, right? He will do that, as I would too. Like, I had many people who were very religious on my campaign. Of course, right? Your religious background, are you a good person or not?
Right, exactly.
Are you smart and savvy or not? That's what I care about. So I would, and I would openly, I defended, to be forward, I'm a Christmas and Easter Christian, to be forward with you. That's what I am. That's forward. Right. I'm a member of the Eastern Orthodox Church. I show off my midnight mass 2-3 times a year. That's what I do, right? To be very, unless I go for my kids, they want something, we'll go, whatever, here or there. But I'm not rushed up a church. However, I'm
hand in hand with you on that. I'm also Eastern Orthodox, and like, we probably passed each other at those two masses every year, Larry.
Yes, we did.
So
yes,
I get what you're saying on that. And I also respect that part of people, right? Because it's not the religious belief that I particularly quibble with. It's the like assigning more to someone than what they are. As sort of like a transitive property, but that's cool too, because you know.
But I think they have to, because they know he's the best guy they got.
Yeah,
and they don't want to say how bad he is, otherwise it may make them feel bad. I think it's a self defense mechanism.
See, now that I hadn't considered, and you might be, that might be spot on. That, you know, they have no other choice, so they have to rationalize somehow that they have to select him. So I didn't get that, but that's a good point. All right, so we're a little bit into the show. Let's move on to our next topic. By the way, if anybody has any questions for Larry, who's a much smarter guy than I am.
We're 45 minutes in, brother. We can yap for hours here. We can be until tomorrow morning.
I'm a descendant of Socrates. You know, I could sit here for a week and not take a breath. You know that, right?
Yes.
Anyway, so the next thing I want to move on. Hijinks and drama going on with the Libertarian Party, Larry. And before show, you said, Big John, don't ask me about this because you might not like what I have to say. And I said, Larry,
didn't say don't ask me. I just said, you can ask me, just recognize you might not like it. That's
what
I'm
you
saying.
Said. Exactly.
Yeah, and
since we're separated by a couple of miles, and I'm sure we're not going to meet with brass knucks and billy clubs.
Not tonight. I'm too tired.
On the Grand Concourse and 160th Street up in the Bronx. Or at Marble Hill, but here, let me ask you this. So let me just pop this up. I want to read something to you. This is from Karen Ann. We had her on the show last week, and I'll tell you, Larry, I had never met or talked with Karen Ann before last week, and I came away really respecting her and loving her because
I've known her for 8 years.
Yeah, I liked her because she's able to compartmentalize her personal and her fiduciary feelings. And I told her I respected her for that. So she said, I am truly sorry that so many were deceived about what the LP is. We exist to promote and run libertarians, not soft endorse Republicans or Kennedys, not to be delusional kingmakers, blah, blah, blah. You were sold something that simply isn't true. I wish you well, etc. She is referring now to a couple of different things, Larry. She's referring to, now this is what we talked to her last week, and she was very open about this. What initially had her on the show was the decision by LP Colorado to not list Chase and Mike on the ticket. Now, so first of all, before we get into any details, let me ask you your opinion. Do you feel LP Colorado is in the right? Do they have this right? Are they doing the right thing? Sure.
Let me touch your comment. I agree with her theory, but she is sadly incorrect. In other words, in theory, she is correct, meaning that the LP should be about that. But it isn't. The LP is about virtue signaling. I wish that were not true. I wish she was correct. And most people are happy about that. There's a minority of people in our party who actually want to run candidates and win.
So hold on. When you say she is correct, what are you referring to when you say she?
She's
correct
saying
about?
The LP exists to run and promote candidates.
Oh, okay, that part of it. Right. Yes. Okay.
I love that. I'm with her. Oh my God. Yes, Karen Ann. I wish that were true. It's just not. The LP actually is about virtue signaling. That's really what it's about, and that's been true for years, right? To be clear, there's a couple of things that people don't get about the LP. They think the LP is like the Republicans, Democrats. It's not. Maybe several things, reason why it isn't. Number one, if we wanted to just win, we'd be Republicans or Democrats. That is why you see those who want to win leave our party and become Republicans or Democrats. Right? I mean, that's why Massey's a Republican and not Libertarian. It's why Amash went back to the Republican Party.
Exactly.
That's why Jared Polis is a Democrat, right? If they didn't care about winning, they'd be a Libertarian.
Right.
Number one. Number two, we were started as an activist party. We weren't started as a party that was supposed to win elections. That wasn't our goal when we began. We began as an activist party. That will always be part of our party. In fact, we think often we have to run for office so we can be an activist, not so we can win. That's a common occurrence. We say things like, we have to run for office. Why? So we have people on the ballot. Why? So people can see our name. Why? Colossal waste of time, money, and energy. And we do it all the time. We run to get ballot access just to get ballot access. In other words, to do nothing else but just get ballot access. To put some guy or gal on a line to do nothing for it. Do it constantly. It's a normal part of what we do. I'm not mad at it. I get it. That's what it is. It's why I'm not surprised by any of this. But worse, every time that we have a failure, which we have often, the fallback is it's because you're not pure enough. The fallback is never, we didn't raise enough money, we didn't do the right thing, we made it. Never. The fallback is, if you are just pure enough.
Right.
That's always the fallback. We focus on principled messaging and principle, which again is important. But sadly, we often use principle as an excuse for bad behavior. That's a very common thing in the LP. I'm going to say, I got to step up. You don't have to do shit. You can just say nothing if you want to. I do it often. Right. Lots of stuff happens and I say nothing. You can just say nothing, right? But I got to step up. I got to call it out. Why? Because you want a virtue signal. Because our party is full of it. And the best example I'll give you is in 2020, when the Mises Caucus took over.
Right.
I warned the other side, which I'll call the CLC, but that may not be exact. It's the anti-Mises side. You call it whatever you want. I'll call it the CLC just because people do say that. I warned them. I said, don't do this. Just wait 2 years. You'll be fine. No, we got to call it out and attack and blah. And they went all out. I said, you're burning down the house. You are going to have to buy back in 2 years. You're going to buy a burnt house because you're burning it. Just stop. Wait 2 years. They will fail. Why, Larry? Are you anti-Mises? No, because nobody can do it because there's no money. The entire budget of the entire LP is less than $2 million. One Democrat Republican raises that for one race in a year. And that's our entire budget. Everybody who runs the LP, all the LP board members, they're all volunteers. They get paid zero. Why do you think people aren't rushing to have that job? You can't do it. And Spike Cohen said it perfectly. Running libertarians is like trying to herd butterflies on meth.
Right.
And you're on meth.
Yeah.
On top of it. It's impossible.
Yeah.
You can't do it. So just wait 2 years, you'll be fine. They didn't. And to be forward with Chase. Look, I like Chase, not against Chase. I think he's a good candidate. I'm not mad at him. All I'm saying is he was on board too, yelling and screaming, saying how the LP's horrible. I don't want to be part of it anymore. He was burning the bridges too. So now 2 years later, right? 2 years later, well, they got a candidate now. And they're wondering why everybody's still fighting. Because you all were fighting. I gave them, and I'm biased here completely. So anyone listening, I'm biased. And I don't care if I'm biased. I'm still right, even though I'm biased.
Okay. Fair enough.
I gave them a candidate, Lars Mapstead. I brought him up. I was going to be his VP. He had a plan. He had a team. He was well-funded. He would have raised easily $5 or $10 million. Easily. Right. He's a self-funded millionaire himself, and he knows wealthy people who know him, who don't care about the Libertarian Party, but they care about him. So they would have funded him with a PAC. I expressed this. I said, he's part of no caucus. And I will be the best surrogate that you have in the entire goddamn party. Pick him. We will actually make impact. And we had a plan to win electoral votes, to get 5%. A whole plan. And the party said, no. We want a virtue signal. We want to fight culture war. We have to make sure we stop the Mises. So stop Chase or whatever they had to stop. They fought a stupid battle. And they won their culture war. Lars is off doing his thing. I'm off doing mine. And the party's imploding. And I warned them. I literally said this. And this is on record. I said, if you don't pick Lars, doesn't matter if you get Chase or Rex. Does not matter. The same thing will happen. Because there'll be a civil war. They'll raise less than $1 million. Because all the money is going to RFK Jr. I warned them of this. The money's going to RFK Jr. You're going to raise maybe, and at least half of LP donors now will give money directly to RFK Jr. That's already happening. Happening. Which is one reason for the thing we'll talk about with the RFK raising money thing. That's the reason why. No, our donor base doesn't want to give money to the LP because it's a shit show. So they want to give it to RFK, which I warned them of because I know the donor class. I'm one of the best fundraisers in the entire in the entire LP. I'm one of the best fundraisers. I know them. I warned them. I also said that he's going to come in fifth behind Jill Stein. Not third. Fifth. Why? Because Jill Stein's funded by the anti-war left. And we can see that already. That's already happening. Right. So he's going to come in fifth. And we're going to wind up losing ballot access. Why? We're not going to make our 2%. We're going to get less than a percent. We're going to raise less than $1 million. And here's the thing I told them. And the squabbling internally will be legendary. That was my words. And it's already happening. We are throwing Montana threw Chase off.
Yeah.
Colorado threw Chase off. There's a bunch of states who want to throw Chase off. Yes. What did you expect? I literally warned you of everything. No, we want to fight culture war. Good luck with that, man. That is my response. Good luck. Fight your culture war. I hope you win.
Well, here's the thing. Again, don't disagree with you. And even if I will accuse myself, which is true, I do believe in a little bit that if you stand for nothing, you know, you have to stand for something. Right. And for all of us as libertarians, maybe that's, you know, like what it should be. Right.
Free markets. We are so much better than all of the idiots that are around us. It's not even close.
Agreed.
So much better.
Right.
So we any libertarian out there who's running is magnitudes better than the Democrats, Republicans are putting up. So even if you're not perfectly principled, you are by magnitudes. But here's the most important piece that I'm going to bring. I'm sorry. You got me in a rant. In 2018, when I got one ballot access for New York State,
right,
we had 107 local victories across New York State. Were they all perfect libertarians? Of course not. Some of them were Republican wannabe libertarians, Democrat wannabes. Of course. But 107, what does that mean? I just opened the door in New York State for real libertarians to now actually get elected. At one point, someone has to clear the beach so we can make a bridgehead and make an offensive. But we keep saying, if it isn't the perfect beach, we won't do anything. We're dying. Dude, you live in New York with me. Our state's dying. You think I give a shit about principle? I got 300,000 people leaving my state every year. I got a subway system that's a goddamn embarrassment. I got a governor who is so incompetent, I want to vomit. And the system right now is so that you and I, unless we leave the state, will never be able to vote for a libertarian ever again. I'm not joking.
I believe it.
It will not be. Chase, I can't vote for Chase. He won't be in a ballot. He'll never make it. Green Party won't make it. I'm RFK Jr. or I'm going to duopoly or I'm staying home. That's all I got. That's where I am now. And you think I give a shit about somebody's principles? I don't. I don't. If that makes me a bad guy, I'm a bad guy. I don't care. My state's dying. And here's what you people who don't live in New York State don't understand. What comes to my state comes to you. It takes some time, but it's coming to you. And in fact, as my people keep leaving, guess where they're coming? To you. So why don't you help me fix my state? We'll stay here and we'll be better. You'll be better. But you're worried about, well, I got to worry about this or that. In 2022, the LP ignored me. And I couldn't get in the ballot. I was the final chance to actually make things work. Why'd they ignore me? Because half of the party was mad because I was still talking to the Mises Caucus. That was the reason. Stupid culture war. Let's ignore Larry Sharp. In 2022, I was the most important race. Larry, you have hubris. Go fuck yourself. Yes, I was the most important race. Because I was going to get us ballotized in New York State in perpetuity forever. That's what would have happened if they had supported me. Instead, they went to Illinois and Alabama. And we lost it again for nothing. And I'm popular. People know who I am. They want me to come on their shows. Who'd you get from Illinois? Who'd you get from Alabama? Nobody, John. Nobody.
Yeah.
But you called me up.
Yes.
I'm the guy who goes on the Hill. I'm the guy who goes on the shows. That's me. They ignored me because they wanted to fight culture war. So now what do we got? Nothing. Your principles are wonderful. But tell me what. Help me out. I had a guy once say, he said to me, Larry, I was on one show, and he was talking about Snowden. He says, Eric Snowden should have stayed here and dealt with this system, blah, blah. I said, are you crazy? He's like, what? I said, so you think, to be clear, you think that Frederick Douglass should have stayed a slave and fought the system? Or should he have left, gone against the law, and then fought outside? Right? Do you think that was a good idea? Do you think some Jewish family in 1930 in Germany should have stayed and fought the Nazis? No, leave, go to England and fight the Nazis from England. Right? What's wrong with you? I'm trying to get a foothold in this country. And we're fighting over crap. It doesn't matter. We're going to sue each other over this. Who gives a shit? Do you think I care if, and this is going to sound horrible, but I'm being very forward. Do I care if Colorado puts Chase in the ballot or not? No, I don't care. Either way, it affects literally nothing. There'll be no change in anything, Montana. I don't care. He's not going to be in the ballot in New York. Why do I care about California? I mean, sorry, Colorado. He's not going to be in New York. I don't care about Colorado. I don't, not no disrespect to Colorado. I'm just saying he's already not making 50 states. What do I care? He's not going to make 5%. What do I care? If we can't fix this system, it doesn't matter.
Well, let me push back on you a little bit.
Please,
on that.
Please push back.
Because
I'm on a rant, brother. That's
okay, man. Hey, that's what makes for a good interview, right? It's a good show. Is the rants? But let me just push back on you a little bit. I don't necessarily disagree with you with what you said, right? Because it's one thing, like, it was hilarious because when I talked to certain old school libertarians, old school ANCAPs, you know,
yep,
the guys who never cast a vote in their lives, but they're the leading yep thinkers. So, like, I had Walter Block on. I said, Walter, tell me the difference between ANCAPs and every other flavor of libertarian. And much like a professor would, he sat me down and said, okay, let me explain this to you. Gave me four classes of libertarians. And he goes, and you know what? Most of us agree on 90% of the things, right? So he goes, yep, where's the difference? The difference is ANCAPs are 1% of all libertarians, and they don't want any government. Then you've got the minarchists who only think negative right. You know, and he broke down four classes like that. And he basically said, look, you and I, Big John, we can agree on 90% of things. We'll disagree on 10% of things. I can live with that. You know, I can live with that, right?
Yes.
So as libertarians now, that principle that you're talking about, not necessarily purity from my point of view, but what is the line that you can't cross, right? That's one question as libertarians politically we all have to ask, right? It's like, yep, what? So for look, the year
when, I'll answer when, it if you want.
Well, instead of Gary Johnson, right, it was William Weld. So instead of Larry and Gary, it was Gary and Bill Weld, because we said we need to grow because of the money he's going to raise for the party. But a lot of, and literally, this is what the Mises people have to remember. That's what galvanized them, right? It's, oh, that's a bridge too far. William yep Weld, I don't care how you define, whether or not Gary is a good libertarian, we know okay William Weld
I'm gonna
is
be
not
clear. That's not true.
What's not true?
He was only a bridge too far because he failed. If he had actually succeeded, he would not have been a bridge too far.
Define success.
Sure. Let's say Gary Johnson had broken 5%, gotten ballot access for the entire country, right? Broken 5%, ballots for the entire country, and we had matching funds for 2024, and Bill Weld had not endorsed Hillary Clinton, right? Let's assume these horrible failures didn't happen, right? With that in mind, think about how much talent would have flowed to the party if everyone knew that in 2020 we were going to have the matching funds. Talent would have flowed to the party. Donors would have flowed to the party. The Mises Caucus would have had no argument. The fact is, Bill Weld failed. I knew he would. That's why I ran against him. I also knew something else. We were not ready for a success. I saw that myself in 2018. When my party, we got my party status in 2018, the Libertarian Party of New York completely dropped the ball. And I take responsibility for that too. This is not me pointing a finger. This is me too. I was right there. I also dropped the ball. Totally. We were not ready for my success. That's true. But we did not know how to deal with it.
How did you drop the ball? How did the LP?
Let me go back two pieces. The first part when it comes to the LP after Jerry Johnson. The second thing, the LP dropped the ball because we didn't do as much as we wanted. We weren't ready to cultivate all the people, to build some ass. I wanted to be the VP because I knew that I'd stay with the party. The problem we have in our party is that anyone who's popular comes in, runs once, maybe twice, but usually just once, gets popular, takes that popularity, and leaves us. From 2016, I'm the only person still active in the party. Only one. from 2020 kind of too. Spike is, but he's not in the party. Spike's in the movement, right? Spike's not in the party.
I was thinking maybe Hornberger. Maybe it might be another one.
He's not active in the party. He shows up every 4 years.
Oh, that's it? Okay.
Yeah. He's not going out fundraising. He's not supporting candidates. He's not he's not emceeing anything.
Right.
That's the shit that I do. I'm the guy who supports candidates. I'm the guy who's on TV saying stuff. That's me. I do that stuff. Others don't do that. Just me. Right. Now, I knew I would. That's why I wanted to have the VP slot so I could take that and use it to draw more people in. Gotcha. I'm the guy who was trying to talk other people into running for president. That was me trying to get people to run for president, right? So that's what I'm going to do, but I didn't get it, so it didn't work. So if Bill Weld had actually been successful, not endorsed Hillary Clinton, and Gary Johnson got the 5%, we'd be like, Gary Johnson's our hero. We would be loving him right now because a lot of talent would have come to the party for 2020. Right. Money endorsements would have come. We might have been able to fund the party, actually. He'd be a great guy. That'd be amazing. But none of that happened. The problem is Gary Johnson and Bill Weld, particularly Bill Weld, failed us. That's the truth. So I wanted to bring that piece up to be clear.
No, and I'm glad you did. I appreciate that you did.
Next two pieces. You brought up Walter Block, and then what is my line?
Yeah.
Walter Block is completely correct and irrelevant. Both. Totally correct and irrelevant. Doesn't matter.
Fair enough.
Everything he said is irrelevant.
Yeah.
Most libertarians don't know or care. None of the country cares. There's not one person who's not libertarian who cares about anything he just said. Irrelevant. They don't care.
Right. Okay.
It doesn't matter.
Fair enough.
What's my line? My line is, and I have changed. I am actually less radical, but more radical. What I mean by that, I am less libertarian radical than I was 3 years ago. Less. But I am more change the system radical than I've ever been. I have almost no line. And that's going to sound crazy. Almost none. I have a very, would I take some crazy guy? If he's good enough, if he can break a hole, if he can do something, that's what I want. Is he libertarian and is he just anti-war? That's it. Anti-war. Do you just check the boxes of being against the things? That's my line, right? Do you say I'm anti-war? Yes. Okay, good enough. Right. But I still want a military. Fine. We're good. I'm anti-war on drugs, but I think, maybe cocaine's bad. Fine. It's fine. I'm not going to fight you. Can you fix this system so real libertarians can win? Right now, real libertarians can't even win. The second we get in, they destroy us. We had one in Wyoming, and they got rid of them. We had one in California. They got rid of them. We had me in New York. They got rid of me. When I watch the Democrats and Republicans and the state and the courts devastate us and not care at all. All the shit I said that's literally on record that I said it came to pass was all true. And nobody in my state in this authority cares at all. When I had Republicans, I gave them a path to victory and they stabbed me in the back and stood me up the ballot. That's when I realized all our principles mean garbage if we can't change the system. So I am all about changing the system. If you can't, right now, the Libertarian Party is ready to die, which means the movement is ready to die. When I'm ready to die, when someone's got their hand out to pull me out of the drowning river, I don't care what kind of hand that is. I just want help. As long as they're not going to kill me when they pull me out, that's all I care. Right. Are you going to kill me when you pull me out of the river? No, pull me out of the goddamn river. I don't care. I don't care if you're a communist. Are you going to kill me? No, pull me out of the river. I don't care. And people think that we're still in 1972. We're not. We are literally years away from organized violence within our country. We are years away from me and you having to pack up and move to goddamn Canada, man. That's where we are. So your principles, whatevs. Whatevs, man. We got to break this system. And right now, most of the people who are in charge, you know this and so do I. They know that Rome is burning. They're just trying to grift while the grifting's good. Get my money before the whole thing goes under. They know it. Why do you think all these people are now having multiple passports? Why is that now a thing? Why is this now, this year, last year was the highest year ever of Americans renouncing their citizenship. Highest year ever. And it's going to be higher this year. People are packing up and leaving. Like, I don't want to be here. They know it's burning. I know it's burning. I see it everywhere. It's burning. Haven't you noticed things that are happening? Like, for example, airlines don't work well anymore. right? Trains don't work well anymore, right? Even packages getting all of a sudden aren't working anymore. Now, obviously, delivery services are starting to fail. The country is burning. We can't do things well anymore. And no one's fixing anything. Why? We're too busy virtual signaling. We're too busy saying orange man bad, Democrats are socialists, and we wonder why people keep going towards socialism or fascism. We are begging them to go to socialism or fascism. We are begging them because we can't fix anything. Libertarianism is failing because we're so busy fighting amongst ourselves instead of getting out good messengers so that people can hear us, instead of running and showing that we could do something.
Right.
The only reason why people listen to me at all is because I actually give libertarian answers. That's the only reason. Otherwise, I'm just another guy yelling into the void.
Now, to that extent, when you say that, and again, I don't know that I could, if I have any arguments against what you've been saying, Larry, necessarily. But to that extent, it almost sounds like you've got a, and I know it's not your personality, but I'll ask the question anyway.
Please.
It's almost like you've got like a very nihilist sort of thing. Like it's very fatalistic what you're describing.
The reverse. I'm trying to save it. The reverse, the people up top, they're all nihilists. They know it's over.
Right.
Even AOC sold out. And she was supposed to be the left savior, right?
Right.
She was going to be Bernie Jr. She was like the Bernie of she was the second coming of Bernie.
Right.
Even she sold out. So, no, the opposite is true. What I'm saying is if we don't move now, yes, the war's over. That's true. I still live in New York City, brother. How can I be nihilist? I'd be in New Hampshire or Tennessee or Alaska, right?
Right.
If I move one day, that's when you know I've given up.
Hmm. So let me ask you this.
If I pack up and leave, then you'll know I've given up. The war's over at that point.
In that case, you know, you remind me of a Dave Attell story he once told, a joke. I don't know if you know who Dave Attell is, stand-up
comedian. Of course I do. I actually saw one of his shows a couple years back.
Yeah, he's great. Love Dave Attell. He said, listen.
He used to have that show at that nighttime show.
Yes. Out After Dark or something like that.
There we go. Yeah. I remember.
But what's one of his greatest jokes, and it kind of mirrors what you're saying. He says, let me give you a piece of advice. If you ever see a crazy naked man running towards you with his penis flapping in the wind, you follow that man. Because whatever it takes to get a naked man with his penis flapping running at top speed, you know it's worse than the naked man running away from you, right? So if I ever see you leaving New York, brother, I'm probably going to be right behind you. But let me ask you this. So now you're in New York. You're still in New York for now.
I am.
What are we doing now to try to restore this, at least get ballot access for folks like you? Look, even Jill Stein, even though nobody agrees with her here, or for Howie, how do we get that ballot access back? Because correct me if I'm wrong, it's easier to get ballot access in Putin's Russia than it is to get in Hochul's New York, right?
100%. You're totally correct. Yes. As I said, if we don't make a change, there is literally no chance. I'm going to be clear on this. I'm not exaggerating. No chance of you or I voting for Libertarian for the rest of our lives.
How do we do that?
How do we fix it?
Yeah.
We take over another party. That's the only way.
One that already has access is what you're saying?
Yes,
or one to start over with?
No. It is impossible to get ballot access in New York State. That's impossible for us, for libertarians.
Right.
Right. So we have to get another party, like a Working Families Party, We the People Party, Conservative Party, whatever, and turn that party into a liberty-leaning party. That's the only way we can do it New York State.
I've always wondered, how does Working Families Party get access and libertarians can't?
Because they were grandfathered in.
Oh, it's a grandfather issue with them.
Well, no, because they're already in now, right? So they're already they have ballot access already, and they can keep making it. The issue is there was a lie that they told people. They said Cuomo changed the rules in 2020 because he was trying to punish the Working Families Party. That's insanely stupid. The Working Families Party supported Cuomo. The Working Families supports Hochul. The Working Families Party still exists. It didn't work. Why did they change in 2020? Because Larry Sharp had 107 victories across the state in 2019. Larry Sharp had turned the Libertarian Party from 15 affiliates to 32 affiliates in 1 year. We were actually growing a competitive party. So when they came after us, to my point, we had no idea how they would come at us. We didn't have the experience. We were ignorant. Again, me included. I'm not saying I put my finger at others.
Right.
I was right there. we were ignorant. We had no idea how they'd come at us, no idea how bad the courts would be, no idea how expensive it would be. We just did not know. And they came at us hard, and they got rid of us. They didn't touch the working. Why didn't they start a Working Families Party then, or the Conservative Party? The Working Families Party just supports Democrats. The Conservative Party just supports Republicans. Right. They're puppet parties. There's no real third party in New York.
Right. Well, that's been known for a long time.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and in addition to the is there an actual Marxist party in New York? I don't remember.
No, not at all. There's only four parties in New York, only four. And now if Kennedy wins, which is why I hope he gets his 2% here in New York State, there'll be a We the People party.
And that would be a potential.
100%. Yes, it would be. Yes. That is our shot. The way that we can get a libertarian elected any place in New York State is only if Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s party wins in New York State and libertarians run under the We the People party. That's the only way. There's no other way.
And all legal avenues have been exhausted or no?
More. I spent $400,000 in 2022 and lost 8 cases, and the Supreme Court refused to hear my case. Okay. My case went to the Supreme Court, and they said, have a nice day. Have a nice day.
Have a nice
day. So, yes, I would say I've gone to Supreme Court. So, yes, it's done. That's my point. When I said there is no chance, I meant there is no chance. I dropped 400 grand, went to the Supreme Court. They said, don't want to hear it. If you got some other idea, Big John, my ears are open.
So you said, now when you say you went to the Supreme Court, you're talking about the U.S. Supreme Court.
That's correct.
New York State Supreme Court.
Right? No. My federal case went to the Supreme Court. They said, no, thanks. Did not see it. As you know, lots of people submit to the Supreme Court every year. Right. They pick the ones they think are valuable. Mine was not valuable.
Now, when they reject cert, do they give you any reasons why, or is it out of hand?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember. Maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah. No, that's
a no for me was a no. What the hell do I care?
Well, only in the sense that you might be able to use that no if it meant that you could build a different type of case potentially.
Who is going to write me checks?
Oh, I didn't say you, Larry. Listen, man, for everything, that's what I'm saying.
It actually doesn't matter what they say. They could have said, we like it, but we hate it because Larry's name starts with an L. That could have been the reason.
Right.
Doesn't matter. Who is going to give me money to go back again? Nobody. So whatever the no is, it's irrelevant.
Well, to answer your question, in theory, if there was a potential, which is why I asked, I would say like, okay, why isn't the National Party funding it or potentially?
Because
funding?
It will cost them $400,000 and their entire – here's the funny part. I raised most of that money on my own. You know me. I'm a fundraiser, right?
Sure.
So I raised $500,000 twice, 2018 and 2022. I asked the LP for only $30,000 and they screwed me over. And that was the end of my entire – that wrecked everything.
Right.
I said, give me 30 grand and I will give you ballot access in perpetuity, forever. And they went, yeah, but Alabama and Illinois. And I went, well, thanks for nothing. And worse, I found out 4 days before I started my process.
Oh, that's crazy.
4 days before.
That's crazy.
They not only said no, they reneged. They agreed and they disagreed 4 days before. Yes.
Crazy.
So you can see why I'm not that happy with the LP in general.
Honestly, after that, I'm surprised you're even associated with the LP anymore, quite honestly. But
I'm
like
still
you said,
a libertarian.
No, I get that piece. But I mean, politically, you know, after someone like is doing what you said they did to you, then I would be like.
And I say it publicly because it's true. I've said it more than once publicly. No one said it's not true.
Yeah.
It's true.
That's crazy.
If I was making it up, they would sue me or something, wouldn't they? Or say Larry's lying. I'm not lying. That's literally what happened. Yep.
Oh, man, that's horrible. Well, Larry, as usual, it's always great talking to you. I love this conversation. And you know, I will say this. When Larry says he picks up the phone, he goes on these shows, I've yet to text Larry, and he's yet to say no. He might say, hey, Big John, I'm at Freedom Fest. I can't make it this week. Let's get back to me next week, which is what happened, right?
So, yes.
Because I would have loved to have you on with Karen Ann last week, so that's why I reached out to you.
Right.
But, you know, for anybody out there, like, you know, we're in love with Larry, if I could say that, because because he's such a good guy. He understands the importance of reaching out and going on and talking about these things, because who knows? If one person listened to this show that might be the one person that breaks through, right? 100%. So why not do this? You know, so Larry, from the bottom of my heart, thank you, man. I'll keep reaching out to you as long as you're willing, and I don't see the U-Hauls heading out of Astoria. Then I know we're in good shape, brother. But everybody out there, this has been Free for All with my very good friend and guest, Larry Sharp. Please go to him. Check him out. As he says, if you look for Larry Sharp on any platform, you'll find him. So just look for Larry Sharp on X, on Twitter, particularly at Larry Sharp. That Sharp, you can see the spelling at the bottom of the screen. So go ahead and look for him. Me, I'm Big John. We're here at Grumblings Media every Thursday night for Free for All. Until next time, peace, everyone.